The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues for the next half hour. I'll be reading articles initially from the Harvard Health Letter and then from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. And I'm going to just finish the Harvard Health Letter of November by mentioning a couple of short articles. The first is entitled, FDA Approves Blood Test for Colorectal Cancer Screening. It's official. The FDA has approved the first blood test to check for signs of colorectal cancer. The approval came late in July 2024 for a blood test called SHIELD. It was previously available with a doctor's prescription for $895. The FDA approval means that SHIELD will now be covered by many insurance plans. For example, people with Medicare Part B won't pay any out-of-pocket cost for SHIELD. People with Medicare Advantage may be subject to copays and deductibles. Getting the blood test every 3 years is simpler than going through a lengthy prep and procedure to have a doctor inspect the inside of the colon, and it's not as messy as collecting a stool sample and sending it to a lab. But there's a catch. As we reported in July 2024, SHIELD detects 83% of colorectal cancers, but only 13% of precancerous growths called polyps. Also, suspicious SHIELD findings must be followed up with a colonoscopy. Still, doctors say any screening is better than no screening, and they're hopeful that SHIELD's convenience will motivate people reluctant to have a colonoscopy or do stool tests to get checked for colon cancer. Finally, another brief story from the Harvard Health Letter. Does a lack of purpose signal cognitive change? A study published online August 13, 2024, by the Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry suggests that a lack of purpose in life and a lack of personal growth might be early signs of cognitive decline. The study involved 900 dementia-free people, average age 79 at the start of the study, who were followed for 14 years. Once a year, participants took cognitive tests, had neurologic exams, and underwent assessments measuring aspects of well-being. Compared with people whose thinking skills remained sharp, those who developed mild cognitive impairment, a precursor to dementia, had lower levels of purpose 3 years before an MCI diagnosis, and lower levels of personal growth 6 years before an MCI diagnosis. The study is observational and can't distinguish cause from effect. Does developing dementia interfere with purpose and personal growth, or do these deficiencies contribute to the development of dementia? However, we know from other evidence that having a sense of purpose is linked to sharp memory and thinking skills, as well as mood control, reduced risk of chronic disease, and longevity. Now we're going to turn to the Mayo Clinic Health Letter, and this is a special report from November 2024 and is a supplement to the health letter. It's entitled Stronger Bones, and I thought I would read this because it's of general interest. When Pamela W. was first diagnosed with osteoporosis, she wondered if there had been a mistake. What if the results stemmed more from her small body size than from bone weakness? Still, upon the recommendation of healthcare professionals, Pamela tried various medications over the years to improve her bone health. However, side effects and other health concerns interrupted her treatment. Then, nearly 15 years after her diagnosis, Pamela bent forward from a seated position. It was a bodily movement that her younger, stronger bone self would have done easily. This time, however, there was a ripping sensation, a loud noise, and extreme pain. An X-ray showed 3 spine fractures. I've had 3 children by natural childbirth, and this was more painful, says Pamela, now 73. Even after the bones eventually healed and the intense pain subsided, Pamela continued to deal with the effects of the fractures. The changes in the mechanics of her spine left less room for internal organs, like her stomach and diaphragm. If she ate a large meal, she felt out of breath. I felt helpless. It was life-changing, she says. Every year, osteoporosis leads to about 9 million fractures like Pamela's. Typically, they occur in the spine, hip, or wrist, although other bones can fracture. The good news is that the risk of disease can be reduced, and the disease is treatable. Healthy lifestyle approaches, sometimes along with medications, can slow the rate of bone loss and even reverse it. Even if you already have osteoporosis, good nutrition, exercise, and medications can lower your chance of being sidelined with a broken bone. Your skeleton functions like a never-ending home repair project. Every day, specialized cells called osteoclasts break down old bone, leaving small cavities behind. Different cells called osteoblasts fill those cavities with collagen. Calcium and other minerals mix with the collagen. Then the mineral collagen substance hardens. Through this process, your bones renew and maintain themselves. This process completely regenerates your entire skeleton every 5 to 10 years. When you're young, your body adds more bone than it removes. This allows tiny toddlers to grow into taller teenagers, and then into young adults. Around age 30, bone building slows while bone removal speeds up. As you age, you have an imbalance with more bone removal than bone building, so you end up losing bone, says Dr. Jed Sphear, an endocrinologist and geriatrician at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Some age-related bone loss is expected, with many people initially losing 3 to 5% of bone each decade. Bone loss accelerates with menopause in women, who can lose as much as 20% to 30% of bone in the spine and 5 to 10% of bone in the forearm during the period around menopause. In most people, the mismatch between bone loss and bone gain can allow small cavities to grow. Bones can appear honeycombed, with enough gaps in their structure that make them more vulnerable to fractures. As you age, your body produces fewer bone-forming osteoblasts, while levels of bone-removing osteoclasts go up. In addition, several other factors contribute to bone loss. First, calcium stores decrease. As you age, your intestines gradually absorb less calcium. The kidneys also appear to lose some of their ability to conserve calcium, so you also may lose more calcium in the urine. In addition, some people are less tolerant of the sugar lactose in dairy products. As a result, they may reduce or stop their consumption of dairy products. Also, vitamin D production diminishes. Vitamin D helps shuttle calcium into bones. The skin produces this vitamin when exposed to sunlight. But the skin becomes less efficient at synthesizing vitamin D from the sun's rays with age. In addition, the digestive system's ability to absorb vitamin D can decrease due to other health conditions. Absorption is affected by liver and kidney health. The hormone estrogen slows bone breakdown. During the 5 to 7 years after the estrogen drop with menopause, women may lose 10% or more of their overall bone mass. Men don't experience comparable bone loss at midlife. Estrogen levels do affect men's bone density as well. Some medications accelerate bone loss. People take more medication as they get older, and some of them can weaken bones, like corticosteroids such as prednisone, anti-seizure drugs, and diuretics like Bumex or Lasix. Others include proton pump inhibitors like Prevacid or Prilosec, aromatase inhibitors used to treat or prevent breast cancer, and certain blood thinners. That's not to say you should stop taking these drugs. Rather, talk with your healthcare team to determine your risk and discuss strategies to balance the risk. Without screening, it's hard to know if bones are weakened. Fractures may occur in any bone, especially in a vertebrae or hip that directly supports weight. Fractures also may occur in the pelvis, thigh bone, wrist, and upper arm bone. Though these breaks can stem from falls, weakened bones also can fracture during activities and movements you would typically consider routine. In the spine, the vertebrae can lose so much bone density that they collapse or cave in during everyday activity like coughing, sneezing, or lifting. Some people break the spine bones, as Pamela did, when bending forward, twisting, or reaching for an object. Although Pamela heard and felt her spine fracture, these breaks may be silent and involve no sounds or sensations. Many people don't know a fracture has happened until a healthcare professional remarks on the loss of height or a curved spine. To measure bone density, you may have a dual energy X-ray absorptiometry test called a DEXA scan. This test is recommended routinely for women over 65, women younger than 65 who have osteoporosis risk factor like low body weight, fracture history, or loss of height, men age 70 and older who are at higher risk of osteoporosis, and anyone who has a fracture after age 50. The DEXA scan uses X-rays to measure how much bone mineral content is packed into a square centimeter of bone, including the bones of the lower back, upper leg, and the forearm. Generally, the higher your bone mineral content, the denser your bones. The denser your bones are, the less likely they are to fracture. The radiation exposure from bone density testing is very low. The test usually takes 10 to 30 minutes. When you receive a DEXA result, you'll see a T score. This score represents how your bone density compares with the average bone density of a young adult with peak bone mass. The T score uses a measurement called standard deviation. If your T score is zero, your bone density is average. You've lost very little bone since you were in the 20s. If it's minus one, your bone density is lower than average. This is considered typical for age-related bone loss. A T-score between minus 1 and minus 2.5 is considered low bone mass, which is called osteopenia. Having low bone mass doesn't guarantee you'll develop osteoporosis, but it can be a warning sign to take action. Your healthcare team evaluates your risk of fracture using tools like the FRAX tool, F-R-A-X. FRAX is used to predict your risk of breaking a bone in the next 10 years based on information like T-score, age, sex, weight, height, personal and family fracture history, medication use, alcohol use, and smoking history. A 53-year-old woman of moderate build with few, if any, osteoporosis risk factors might be considered to have a low to moderate risk of having a fracture, despite having a T-score in the osteopenia range. On the other hand, an 85-year-old woman with the same T-score who smokes, drinks alcohol, and has a family history of hip fracture would have a much higher risk of a future break. Depending on your DEXA score and fracture risk, your healthcare team may recommend retesting in about 2 years. If steps to improve your bone health have kept your T-score stable, your chance of developing osteoporosis may depend on how long you live and your health as you age. Weight-bearing exercise ranks as one of the most important ways to keep bones strong, says Dr. Ann Kearns, an emeritus endocrinologist at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. When you do activities that put stress on your bones, whether it's hitting a tennis ball or doing squats, you stimulate those vital bone-building osteoblasts. This is why the bones in a tennis player's dominant arm are usually larger and denser than those in the other arm. Conversely, people on bed rest lose bone strength quickly due to lack of activity. In addition, regular physical activity builds muscle, which cushions bones, improves balance, and prevents falls. Weight-bearing movements include walking, climbing stairs, dancing, and other movements you do on your feet. They also include resistance exercise like weightlifting. These movements have an added benefit of strengthening the back, because you use muscles around your spine to stay upright during activity. Do 30 minutes of weight-bearing exercise most days. Include resistance exercise 2 to 3 times a week. If you've been diagnosed with osteoporosis, you may want to consult a physical therapist who specializes in helping people with osteoporosis. These health professionals can show you exercises to help you strengthen your body and bones safely. Generally, you want to gravitate toward low-impact, weight-bearing activities like walking, elliptical or stair-step machines, low-impact aerobics, tai chi, dancing, light gardening, deep water walking, and water aerobics. Depending on the severity of your osteoporosis, the healthcare professional may recommend that you avoid risky movements that put undue stress on your spine. Risky movements might include forward bending like abdominal crunches and toe touches, twisting motion like in golfing, bowling, and some yoga postures, and heavy lifting like opening windows or carrying heavy bags. To strengthen your muscles and bones safely, you might try a variety of exercise routines. And the article includes explanation about how to do things like bicep curls, pelvic tilts, upper back extension, lower back extension, and chair up and down activities. Like any living tissue, bones need nutrients. Calcium and vitamin D receive the most attention, but other nutrients play supporting roles. Here are some key recommendations. You should consume foods rich in calcium. Calcium is a mineral that helps bones stay strong. Women older than 50 and men over 70 need 1,200 milligrams daily. Most people consume less than that, with women getting about 800 milligrams and men's getting about 1,000 milligrams. To ensure that you get enough, try to include a calcium-rich food at every meal. Dairy products play a starring role in a calcium-rich diet, so if your diet restricts or omits dairy, consider taking a supplement. And the calcium content of common foods, for example, low-fat yogurt, 1 cup, has 450 milligrams of calcium. 3 ounces of salmon has 240 milligrams. A cup of broccoli has 75 milligrams. You should also get more vitamin D. Vitamin D helps lock calcium into your bones. Ultraviolet radiation from the sun stimulates your skin to synthesize vitamin D. Generally, 5 to 30 minutes of midday sun exposure on your face, hands, and arms at least twice a week is enough to help your body produce the vitamin D it needs. If your sun exposure is limited because of culture, clothing, sunscreen, or lifestyle, you may not be getting enough vitamin D. If you live north of the 37th parallel, your skin can't make enough vitamin D from September to May due to the low angle of the sun. Because pigment protects the skin from ultraviolet light, people with black or brown skin may produce less vitamin D as well. Foods rich in vitamin D include fortified milk, fatty fish, fish liver oil, liver, and egg yolks. If you don't think you're getting enough vitamin D from the sun or food, you might want to discuss with your healthcare provider taking a supplement. Look for a supplement that supplies 800 to 1,000 international units, or follow the advice of your care team. You should also eat more vegetables, fruits, and grains. Vegetables, fruits, and whole grains are generally lower in calories and are often high in fiber and essential vitamins and minerals. They contain phytochemicals, which are substances that can protect against various diseases, including osteoporosis. You should also try to aim for adequate protein intake, like beans, lentils, soy, nuts, fish, poultry, and lean cuts of meat. You should also limit adding too much sugar, salt, and phosphorus. Phosphorus interferes with how much calcium is absorbed through your small intestine, and there's a lot of phosphorus in many processed foods. Now, another important question is, do you need a medication? In recent decades, medications for osteoporosis have become safer and more effective. Here are some examples. First are the anti-resorptive medications, and these include Fosamax, Actonel, and Reclast. These medications prevent bone breakdown, preserve bone mass, and reduce fracture risk. When you take an anti-resorptive medication, the rate at which you lose bone slows, and your bone density stabilizes. Another example of an anti-resorptive medication is Prolia. Other examples include Evista or Raloxifene, and Duavie, as well as T-Sec. Biphosphonates, that's, for example, Fosamax and Reclast, are often the preferred anti-resorptive medication because of their effectiveness, relatively low cost, and long-term safety data. The drugs are available as tablets and liquids, taken daily, weekly, or monthly. There is a shot that can be given every 3 months, and an infusion given once a year. Biphosphonates may increase bone density by about 5 to 10% in the spine. They also reduce the risk of new spinal fracture by 40 to 70%, and some can reduce hip fracture by 30 to 40%. Side effects of these drugs include gastrointestinal upset and pain in the joints and muscles. Much more rarely, some people have experienced jawbone deterioration and thigh bone fractures. The risk of these extremely rare complications can be reduced by taking a break after 5 years of treatment. Then there's anabolic medications. Bone building or anabolic therapies work by boosting bone formation. That can help new bone growth outpace bone loss. This class includes Fortio and Timlose. The other name for Fortio is teriparatide. Teriparatide stimulates osteoblast cells to increase new bone formation. The other drug, Timlose, may result in a slightly greater increase in bone density compared with teriparatide, although it has not been shown to be more effective at reducing fractures. Researchers studying postmenopausal women found that daily injections of these medications, along with calcium and vitamin D supplements, increased bone density of the spine and hip. The long-term safety and effectiveness of these drugs are not known, and the treatment should not last for more than 2 years. Long-term treatment with teriparatide or Fortio may be considered for people who remain at high risk of fractures. Then there's the dual-acting medications. These include Evenity or Romosozumab. It's an antibody to sclerostin, a naturally occurring protein produced in specific bone cells. Sclerostin controls bone mass by reducing the activity of osteoblasts. Romosuzumab binds to and blocks sclerostin. So it's kind of like taking your foot off the brake pedal in your car. In other words, it's going to increase the activity of bone-forming osteoblasts. The medication slows the rate at which the body breaks down bone. Romosuzumab, a monthly injection, can be taken for a year. Because the bone-building effects of the drug disappear quickly once you stop taking it, your care team then prescribes an anti-resorptive therapy like Fosamax. For many people, the side effects of osteoporosis medicines are mild and manageable, but occasionally some people need to try several medicines before finding one that works. Pamela tried taking alendronate, but couldn't keep taking it because of severe acid reflux and dizziness. Then she tried teriparatide, but it worsened a pre-existing heart condition. Eventually, she started taking abaloparatide, which is another anabolic medication, slowly working her way up to a full dose, and her spinal T score improved by 20%. The article goes on to say that she should try to avoid fractures by lifting safely, working on your posture, supporting coughs and sneezes, and by changing how you sleep. When you lie down, use pillows to maintain your spine's natural curvature. In addition, avoid positions that can aggravate your back. Well, I think that's about all the time we have. We've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoy it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.